Luke chapter number 5, verses 3 through 6. A breakthrough blessing. I think that it is a very true statement and a true assumption to assume this morning that everyone that is in here is dealing with some type of constraints, some limitations, some things that is perceived as being holding you back from where you want to be. And for some, perhaps you think that if you had more money, you'll be able to do this. Or maybe if you had a college degree or a high school diploma, then life would be different, like this or like that. Or maybe if you wasn't dealing with the illness that you're dealing with. Whatever it is that you feel that is holding you back, it is there where God allows us to see our weakness. It is through dealing with weakness in life that we understand grace has a place to abound. And by grace, I mean the unmerited favor of God.
Yes, Lord.
I mean, when God steps in and God do for you what you can't do for yourself.
All right, Lord.
And the truth of the matter is, we need God every step of the way. But sometimes, as long as the sun is shining in our lives, we really don't appreciate the grace of God because we think we're doing it all by ourselves. And then God allows a little storm in your life to show you that you need Him. And when that storm comes, the first thing that we do is we run to God and we begin to pray, cry out to God, to tell God, God, I'm weak, and God, I need you, and God this, and God that. And God is saying, but that's what I've been trying to tell you all along, that even when you thought you were strong, you really was weak, because when you thought you were strong, you were fooling yourself. You were living in a state of denial. So God allow us to go through some stuff so that He can allow us to see that we need Him. The moment that we discover that we need God is the moment that we are positioning ourselves for a breakthrough blessing. By breakthrough blessing, I mean that one blessing that changes your entire life. God only needs to move one thing in your life, and your entire life can be changed and changed forever. But sometimes what you think you need isn't what you need. Because the proof of that is you've been crying and praying God and praying to God and asking God for a husband, and you got a husband, and now you're asking God to be set free. You've been crying out, praying, asking God for a new job. Now you got the new job. They switched the hours on you, and now you're upset because that's not it. See, sometimes what we ask God for is not what we need. We ask God for where we are. In other words, our little world. What we can see. And God is saying, I know the thoughts that I have for you. What God is thinking about you is not the same thing that Ray Ray and Pookie and Shaquita is thinking about you. God has a different thought about you. So if you listen to Ray Ray, you're going to be jacked up, because you're going to align your life with what Ray Ray says, and God is speaking something else, and you're going to miss the voice of God trying to be in line with a so-called friend. Do you understand? In order to see God, you gotta launch out into the deep.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jesus has a way of always setting people up. You ever been talking to someone and you thought they were on your side and then they say something and they kind of switch it on you? You know, like sometimes you're talking to your best friend and they're like, yeah. And then they throw something back at you and then it makes you look at it like, where did that come from? You know, I thought you was on my side. You see, but when someone loves you, they reserve the right to push you. If someone say that they love you and they never challenging you, never asking you to thrust out or to lunge out into the deep, they really don't love you. They're lusting.
Come on. What you say?
And sometimes lust will show you that people really just want what you want and they really don't care about you. That's why you have to be in prayer about the people that God sometimes allow around you, because everybody around you doesn't mean you well. Sometimes God will allow Satan to come right next to your house, right next to your job, right next to your life, and he'll allow Satan to come because God knows what he's placed inside of you, so he knows what he's going to do, but you still have to go through something. You have to go through.
Yes, God.
Jesus one day is teaching the word, and he comes to the disciples, and when he comes to the disciples, he sees two boats. He sees these two boats, and those two boats are sitting there, and the fisherman that occupies the boat, they're gone. So where they're gone, they went to clean the net. And so they've been fishing all night long, didn't catch anything. And so here's the two boats that are sitting there, and here comes Jesus the next morning. He wants them to go back out again. Can you imagine these fishermen is saying, listen, Jesus, I've been fishing all night. You were at home chilling somewhere, and then here it is early in the morning, and you want to come. And you want us to go back and do it again. I wonder if you ever had an experience with God where you tried something and then God told you go do it again. And you said, God, do you really want me to do that again? Been there, tried that, have a t-shirt to prove it. I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to experience that again. And God is saying, you go back and do it. Because sometimes the second time around is the best time. See, what I learned, struggled through on the first time, I won't make those mistakes on the second time. This time I'll get it right. This time I'll listen to the Lord. This time I'll be in prayer. This time I'll trust God. This time I'll wait on the Lord. This time he'll open the door. This time I'll know what I'm doing. This time I'll trust you, Lord. Because I've been through this before. And so he sees the two boats, and Jesus gets into the one of the boats, and he says to Simon, he says, launch out. Now, when he says to Simon to launch out, listen, the word launch is kind of an indication that something is getting ready to start in your life. Now, a launch is never about the destination. A launch is just to get you started. The launch is just to get you moving. And so sometimes God will light your fire just to get you moving, and he's trying to launch you from where you are. But that's not where God is taking you. He's merely trying to launch you because there's too many leeches around you.
Lord have mercy. God have mercy.
Leeches. Leeches are those things that grab hold of you and they want $5 this week and they want $10 next week. And they forgot that they haven't paid you from last year. And by the way, if you don't do it, then you're not a Christian. So a leech will always suck something out of you and never give you anything in return. You got some friends like that in your life. They're forever pulling on you and they will never sow into your life.
Jesus.
That's a leech. And so we overlook the fact that we have leeches in our life because we're trying to be good Christians.
Amen.
Because we are so naive that we think that, well, if I have it, then that means that I have to give. You have to be careful that you don't support other people's habits. See, because as long as you're doing it, I have no need to get a job because I can trust you. As long as you're doing it for me, then why would I change? It's working for me. It may not be working for you. But as long as it's working for me and I'm the leech, I don't want it to change.
All right, now.
And so there you are, you complaining about it, but you're still doing the same thing. You're still giving the same thing because you have leeches in your life.
My God.
And so God says to Simon, he gets in the boat, and Jesus says, launch out into the deep. And so he pushes out just a little bit into the land, and once he pushes out, Jesus begins to preach. He begins to teach. He begins to share a word, not only with his disciples, but with others that are around.
Uh-huh.
And so as he begins to preach, and as he begins to conclude his sermon, his conversation with them, and then once he concludes that, he moves from a point of launching out. He then says, thrust out. Now, thrusting out is kind of implying that you got to go a little bit deeper in order to get your true breakthrough.
Uh-huh.
See, because if you've ever been fishing, you notice that all the stuff that is close to the land, it's all been walked on and it's no good. And so everybody has been there and they've been fishing there. If you really want to catch good fish, you got to launch way out in the deep. You got to go in the back, behind the tree, behind the stump where nobody else wants to know. That's where your blessing. Your blessings is behind the trouble, behind the tribulation, behind the rain. That's where the blessings are. You got to go around the corner to get your blessings. In order for you to ever experience the breakthrough blessings that God has in store, you're going to have to launch out into the deep. But listen to me, point number one this morning. In order for you to get your breakthrough blessing, number one, there must be a willingness to let go of your safety to get to your solution.
Yeah.
All right, man.
I'm going to say that again. You must be willing to let go of your safety to get to your solution.
Wow.
See, because as long as you're playing it safe, you'll get safe blessings.
Uh-huh.
As long as you're playing it safe, you'll never get a breakthrough. In order for you to see supernatural stuff, you got to do supernatural and crazy stuff together. And so what God is saying, if you want to see something, you got to let go of this safety. Notice what he says. He says, thrust out. In other words, God will take you where no man has never been before. That's why they laugh at you when you tell them that you have a dream. That's why they laugh at you when you told them that you're going to go to school and you got four kids. That's why they laughed at you when you told them you're going to buy a house and buy a car and your credit jacked up. They laughed at you because God began to take you a place where nobody has never been in your situation. But I don't need credit. I don't need a degree. I don't need a diploma. I just need the favor of God. If God says thrust out, baby, I'm going to thrust out. Because if God says go, I know that when I go, I can connect with my overflow. But I got to go in order to get it. See, that's why God says, I'm going to do a new thing in you. A new thing. A thing that they never seen. A thing that's going to leave them being puzzled by. A thing that's going to leave them twisted and confused. Because they're going to step back and say, how did that happen? Because they don't have a job. How did that happen? How did that happen to them? Because they are not. Don't allow people to look at you and put you in a box. More importantly, darling, don't you jump in Ray Ray's box that he's thrown for you. That's what you think of me, but that's not what God said about me. What God said about me is I'm the head and not the tail. What God says about me is that I am the lender and not the borrower. What God says about me is no weapon formed against me. So he says, I'm going to do a new thing in you. There must always be a willingness to let go of your safety in order to get to your solution. See, you want something. You desire something. You have something in mind. But as long as you're being safe, as long as you're hanging out in the shadow water with shadow people, you'll never get a deep breakthrough. You'll never get a deep blessing. So if that's where they want to go, is hang out in the shadow water, you need to leave them. You got to bust out. The good stuff is in the deep. The good stuff that's never been touched is way out there. And so that's where you have to go in order to get your good stuff, is that you got to let go of your safety in order to get to a solution. Point number two is this. Don't expect your conditions to be calm. Don't expect your conditions to be calm. Jesus says to Simon, thrust out. When he says to Simon to thrust out, you have to understand that in shallow water, there's no wave.
Amen.
If there's no waves, there's no propelling. There's no movement.
Amen.
See, sometimes you have to shake some stuff up in your life to get moving. So God says, thrust out into the deep. And so when he says that the conditions will never be calm, they'll never be correct, always expect, when you launch out into the deep, expect the storm. Expect it to rain. Expect them to lie on you. Expect them to dislike you. You like it like that. Because as long as they're talking about you, they'll keep you on bending knees. I love it when I'm going through something and I get some resistance. The resistance says, I'm on the right track. If I can walk and everything is sunshine and everything is calm, that ain't me. I want to go where they don't like me. I want to go where they lying on me. I want to go where I have resistance and limitations, so I know that God is just right for a breakthrough right there. Have you ever tried God and you were facing some resistance in life, and then God opened the floodgates of heaven for you? Won't he let it rain in your life? Won't he pour out a blessing in your life? Don't expect things to become. Don't ever expect to go through something, and as you're going through something, you expect everything to be okay.
All right.
See, the moment that you begin to go through and it begins to rain, the rain is validation that a rainbow is to come. See, the only reason it rains is so that God can remind you of the rainbow. The rainbow is the promise of God. And you got to know what he promised you in order to know what to expect. See, when I know what God promised me, I don't care about the pitfalls. I know what you said, God. I know what you promised me. I'm not going to let go until I see my breakthrough. I'm not going to leave you alone until you do it for me. I'm going to cry all night, all day. God, you're going to get tired of me because I'm going to wear you out. That's why you have to push. That's why you have to push. I'm talking about you got to pray until something happens. You got to stay on your knees. You got to pray until something happens. It won't always happen the first day or the first week or the first year or the first decade. Sometimes you really have to wait on the Lord. But in the course of waiting on God, I have a sense to believe that God will never leave me, never forsake me. I can wait on God because I know while I'm waiting on God, he's still going to meet all my needs. He's going to supply everything while I'm waiting on God. I still know that he has a hedge of protection all around me.
Thank you, Jesus.
All around me.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Simon says to Jesus, he says, Jesus, he says, we've been toying all night long.
Yes, Lord.
In other words, we've been fishing all night.
All night.
All night. Now, I find that strange because watch this. Peter or Simon went fishing at the right time to catch, but nothing happened. Watch this. He went fishing at night because he was a professional fisherman, and he knew in order to catch fish, go at night. So he went at night, but God shut the mouth of every fish to show him that sometimes it may look like the right time for you, but it's not the right time for him. Now, if you believe that, let me flip that thing around. Because sometimes it will look wrong in your eyesight, but he says it's just right for me. It'll look wrong because you just got laid off. And he'll say, let me pay that off for you. See, he'll make it look one way so that when what you see is not in line with the spirit man. See, in the spirit man, you got a war. In the spirit man, you got a travail. In the spirit man, you got to get your breakthrough. Because in the natural, it won't happen sometimes. But in the spirit, I can push through. What, I don't care about sickness. I don't care about cancer. I don't care about bankruptcy. I don't care about loneliness. In the spirit man, I can push through that thing. It's in the spirit man. He says we toiled all night long. In other words, we went fishing when we were supposed to catch something. See, but what God has in store for you, eyes have not seen. See, you are looking. And somebody told you, if you do it like this and like that and like that and like that, and then you'll get this result. I came to tell somebody your life been upside down. You've been addicted to this and you've been caught up in that. And God says that's exactly the process that I wanted to take you through. I know it doesn't look right, but that's His. I know it didn't feel right, but that's His. Now when He brings you through that, I don't care about credentials, degrees, or anything, because favor will allow you to begin to step over stuff. When other folks are saying, I got a degree, and God says, but you got my favor. And other folks are saying, but I'm not getting a promotion. And God is saying, but your name is on. You got to trust the Spirit, man. Simon Peter said, we went fishing at night.
At night.
It was supposed to happen like this. And see, because he thought this is how it should happen, he boxed God in from doing God.
All right, now.
That's why the Bible says, let God be God.
Let God be God.
Let God be true. Because as long as you got God in a box, God is not being God in your life. Now, it doesn't mean that He's not God. He's God always. But He's not being God in your life. The reason that we don't see breakthroughs is because we place limitation, place a box around God and say, now this is going to happen like this. And God is saying, if you move back, you'll just watch me do the supernatural. If you just move out of my way, because I know the thoughts that I have for you. If you'll move out of my way, just watch me move your mountains. If you'll move out of my way, just watch me move your haters. If you'll move out of the way, just watch me move the naysayers. If you'll move out of my way, just watch me do the supernatural. But you got to get God out of your little box. You got to get God out of your box. So he says, we toiled all night long. And then he says a most interesting thing. He says, nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
Point number three is this. In order for you to live your dreams, you got to launch out into the deep. In order for you to live your dreams, you got to launch out. You got to let go. You have to let go. Now, I know to some of you control, you know what, it sounds like you got to keep your hands up. But you have to really, okay, me, I have to really let go.
Yes.
And say, God, I trust you 200%.
Come on now.
Now, I don't know where this is going to go.
Right.
And the truth of the matter, God, it seems like if I take my hands off it, it's going to fall. And God is saying, well, who are you? Do you really think that you're holding it up anyway? Do you really think you're holding this thing together? No, baby, don't fool yourself. Don't let your little ego get in God's way. Because God is saying, you're not doing anything. I can use a chicken and a cow and a donkey and everything else to do what you're doing. Don't get cute in this situation. Don't think it's about you. Don't think you're the man. You got cold and stuff. You a having this. You a big caller. You a shot caller. No, baby, you just a vessel. You better be a willing vessel and let God do the rest. Launch. Watch this. He says, nevertheless. Nevertheless. And my question to you this morning is, when are you going to have a nevertheless moment? When are you going to have a nevertheless moment? One of those those moments, nevertheless, my situation, I'm coming out. Nevertheless, what they say about me, I'm coming out. Nevertheless, what it looks like, I'm coming out. When are you going to have a nevertheless moment? When you look at stuff and it looks bad, but nevertheless, what it looks like, I'm coming out of this thing. Nevertheless, where I just came from, I'm coming out to bigger things. Nevertheless, to how I feel about it, God still has a plan for me. Nevertheless, he says, nevertheless, not at what somebody else said, but he says, nevertheless, at thy word. See, when Jesus or God speaks a word to you, you got to cancel out everything else. And I said it to you before, and I'll share it with you again. The problem that we have in life is that we allow our butt to get in our way. If you move your butt out of the way, God can do something. If you move your butt, you know God can do this, but you know God want to bless you, but you know I would do this, but move your butts out of the way and just let God be true. If you believe in him, if you got a word inside of you. Now, if you don't have a word to stand on, your butt will stay in your way. Because you don't see God, you just see your butt. But when you let go of your butt and say, God, I see your face. God, I'm coming after you. God, I'm seeking you. Have your way with me, God. Whatever pain I have to go through, whatever the process is, have your way with me, Lord. It may get rough sometimes, but have your way with me. Now, watch this, because it's a funny story how this one closed out. It closes by saying, listen, God told him, or Jesus told him, he says, let down your nets. And the boy got cute. And he brought one net. See, partial obedience is disobedience.
That's right.
See, sometimes we try to split hairs with God and say, well, God, I didn't do that part, but yeah, I did that. And God is saying, I want you to be totally obedient to me. So Simon Peter, he let down one net. When he let down the one net, the Bible declares that that one net, it broke. It broke. Imagine if he would have been obedient to God. Now this is where the story twists. Imagine if he would have been obedient to God. He would have caught an unimaginable load. Now in spite of his disobedience to God, God still favored him because God told him to launch out, which is an indication that God was going to be with him throughout the journey. So God told him to launch out, and when he launched out, he let out one net. That net broke, and the Bible declares that they caught a multitude. They caught so many fish that he had to bring in the second boat just to get the fish. And the Bible even declared that that one almost sank. I wonder if you'll be obedient to God. What kind of breakthrough would you get this morning? I'm talking about a breakthrough blessing that comes through obedience to God. And so he was in partial obedience to God. So if he would have totally listened to God, you can only imagine what he would receive. See, that's some of us this morning. We're getting a taste of blessing, but we're not getting a breakthrough blessing. We get a little hit, a little sip of it, but we're not getting all of it. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of just living with just enough to pay the bills. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of sitting down and doing the budget just to figure it out. I want to go so I can get my overflow. Don't you want some overflow this morning? Show you what overflow looks like. The Bible declares that they caught so many fish that he had to give some of them away. Overflow is when God bless you so sweet that you don't even have room enough to receive it. Overflow when God bless you and you don't even care if they lied on you, you still trying to sow a seed because now you understand seed time and harvest time. I may not like you, but I can still sow a seed right there because wherever I sow, it's going to reap right there. And so all God wants you to do is just to sow a seed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now this is the crazy part.
Hallelujah.
Is that God blessed Simon. The boats, both of them, was overflowing. When he got what he thought he wanted.
Alright.
He goes back to the shore with it. And said, one boat is full, two boat is full. This what I set out to do. And so when he gets it, he comes back, then he leaves it. Isn't that something? Listen to it. When he got what he's been asking for, he left it. What he set sail to do, he set sail to get a boat full. Because he set sail to get a boat full, then what he did was, when he received the boat full, he walked away from what he wanted.
All right now.
Because what he realized is that what he wanted was nothing in comparison to what God had in store for him. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You've been asking God for something, but it's been too small. And so God wants to bless you with some big stuff. And so the moment that God gives you what you thought you wanted, you will leave it, because nothing compares to the love of God. When you get God, you can fish every day and get an overflow. When you connect with God, you can reach out every day and He'll supply your needs. When you connect with God, every little thing that you want, He'll take care of all of that. But you must be about God and not about your boat. Your boat. Simon was about filling his boat. Simon was about his fish. Now Jesus says, I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. So go ye therefore. You go outside of this church and begin to reach out to men. Once you understand that it's not about you, it's about God, then you'll understand. If I take care of his business, he's going to take care of mine. So Peter, no fishing business. That wasn't big enough for him. He wanted to connect with God. When he connected with God, then God opened it up for him.
Yes.
Let go. You let go.
Yes.
In order for you to get to a breakthrough blessing, you have to let go.
Yes.
See, as long as I'm holding it,
Jesus,
it's my word.
Yes.
And God is saying, but you got to do a free fall.
Yes,
but God, if I let go of this checkbook right now, I'm through. And God is saying, if you don't let go, you're through. But God, if I let go in this relationship right now, I'm through. And God is saying, if you don't let go, you're through. See, God wants us to transfer with Him. See, that's the transfer. The transfer is that when we cast our cares on Him and He give us His love. What kind of love is that that make a man hang on a cross? And what kind of love is it will make a father give his child for an old sinful person like me? What kind of love is that? Nothing but the love of Jesus. Now, if He loved you that much, don't you think He loved you more than a car note? Don't you think He loved you more than a mortgage? Don't you think He loved you more than a new job? If He loved you so much that Jesus stretched forth on the cross. And He says, My God, why has thou forsaken me? Not you. Because He says, I never leave you. I never forsake you. But in order for Him not to leave us, not to forsake us, He had to turn His back on Jesus. He had to turn His back on His only begotten Son. And so Jesus hung. Where are you, God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But God, I'm here. Where are you? And God is saying, but I need for you to save an old rugged sinner. And you can only do it with an old rugged cross. You see,
old rugged cross.
Jesus took
what
we deserve. And so He canceled out that death warrant for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Every every time you sin, there's a warrant that is issued for your arrest. God cares about that.
Thank you, God.
He says, I know they're guilty. But let me tell you about the cross.
Yes.
You remember Jesus died on the cross?
Yes.
He says, I died on the cross so that when God looks at us,
hallelujah,
what he sees is a red ocean of blood.
All right now.
And so when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin.
All right now.
He doesn't. He doesn't. Can I have your glasses? Please. And so God looks at you, and where, of course, God can see. And he begins to look, and when he looks,
it's the blood, God.
It's the blood.
Yeah.
Oh, you guilty.
Yeah.
Oh, you did something last night. And you thought about something since you've been here.
Jesus.
But he says, that's not what I'm looking at.
Hallelujah.
See, mankind will look at you and they'll have a desire to judge you.
Yes.
But God is saying, but I'm looking through a different set of eyes. I'm looking at you not based off what you did, but based off what my son did on the cross. I thank God for Jesus this morning. If it had not been for Jesus this morning, thank him this morning for Jesus dying on the cross. See, that's how you get your breakthrough. It's through the blood of the Lamb. That's how you get your blessing. It's through the blood of the Lamb. That's how you get your peace. It's through the blood of the Lamb. That's how you get your miracle. It's through the blood of the Lamb. Not based off you, but based off the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. I said, worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. I'm going through something, but the Lamb of God paints a different picture for me. I got caught up in something, but the Lamb paints a different picture for me. That's why I say to you, it's more to you than what we see. See, we can look in the natural, and God is saying, but I purpose you in the spiritual. So God doesn't look at you in the natural, because God is the spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So when you get in the spirit, when you begin to obey God, he'll take care of it. Listen to me this morning in closing. Listen to me. Here's the word for the day.
Thank you, God.
Relax. Relax.
But I'm drowning.
Relax. Relax. But no. Relax. But do you know what I'm gonna face this week? But relax.
Relax. Thank you, Lord.
Relax.
Hallelujah.
Relax. I mean, after all, even when you get your check, it's still not enough.
That's
right. Relax. I mean, just look where he brought you from. Are you really naive to think that you did it? He did it. Just relax. But do you know the obstacles that is against me? Yeah, just relax. He got this. He got this. He has the whole world in his hands.
Yes, he does.
He got you. He got you. So while you're relaxing, just tell him, pass me not.
Pass me not.
Oh, just a second. Just hear my humble cry. Just hear me. Just hear me. God, don't pass me. Don't pass me by. No. I had enough people to walk out. Don't you walk out. God, I had enough people to stab me back. Don't you do it. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He says, I'll give you peace that is beyond understanding.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Do you want that peace this morning? You can only find that peace by having a right relationship with God. As the deacons come forth this morning, if you're here this morning and you don't have that right relationship, I'm not talking about a sinless relationship. It'll never be sinless. I'm talking about the right one. If that's you, you to come. With everyone this morning, not sure about your salvation.